a brain walking around on a toothpick. He's not a muscle to be flexed. He's not just a ghost floating around. Man is mind, spirit, and body, living in a society. He's a whole being. And what affects one area of his life affects all areas. You don't separate man and get by with it. You can't departmentalize life. It has departments, but it defies departmentalization. Life is wholeness. Jesus is the name for him in the Hebrew for Joshua, deliverer, our healer, our one who makes you whole. That's what his very name means. And so we're here to realize life as one. Now, the camp program is born of that kind of philosophy and geared to that kind of orientation. Consequently, it really encourages good speaking, and if you'll pray, you'll get the best. It's not just a speaker program. It's not just any other kind of one program. It's a total program. And so let me just illustrate what I mean by saying a word about the program. Immediately following this talk this morning, we will be under the direction of Alice Craft. Now, Alice is a genius. Her genius comes from heaven. But she's a genius in teaching us how to worship God with our bodies. Your physical body is a temple of God. It's made to worship God. It's made to be blessed in and not blessed out. You ever had anybody to bless you out? Well, get blessed in. And so we give ourselves to the Lord under Alice's direction, and we really worship God with our bodies. This is a vital part of the camp program. None of us will miss it. Now, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And if you are new at camp and you begin to see and enter into all of this worship with your bodies, you'll be a little self-conscious at first. You're afraid somebody's going to see you. You know, us men playing games, you know, like children, getting as supple as Alice. You know? And sometimes when you were brought up as I was brought up, you're still a little afraid to dance. You know? But this isn't dance. This is worshiping God with your body. Don't call it dancing. It's not that. It's worshiping God with your body. Now, that's scriptural. Dancing in the spirit, scriptural too. So we're going to be in the spirit, worshiping God with our bodies. Then we're going right into our prayer group time. Now, if I had to select one important aspect of the camp life, I think the heart of it is prayer. But prayer is not just an hour's experience during the day. We pray for the hour that we might know that prayer is the breath we breathe. Life is prayer in the spirit. Now, everybody here is going to pray. You'll not be embarrassed. Nobody's going to say, will you pray this way? Will you pray that way? No one's going to make you commit yourself beyond the leadership of the Lord within you. But you will pray whether audibly or silently. And you'll find miracles happening as we pray. We're going to divide up into prayer groups at 11 o'clock. Most of you have already been given a number. You were given a number at dinner last evening. That number is the number of your prayer group. If any of you here do not have a number, I'm going to ask our prayer hostess to stand. Will you stand right where you are? If she is here, she's our prayer hostess. And if you do not have a number immediately following our service here this morning, see her and get a number for your prayer group. And all of the prayer group leaders are to meet with her on the porch of the administration building, go right through the main doors, administration building, on the back porch at 10:45. We'll meet there together, the prayer group leaders. Now, immediately following prayer, we're going to have lunch. We go into the rest and recreation period. And then at the designated hour this afternoon, I believe 3:45. Not sure of that. 4 o'clock. We go into what we're calling, and rightly so, creatives. You see, locked up within you are dreams. Locked up in you are dimensions of expression that you've really not gotten a hold of yet. Now, these various drives and dreams are expressed as you abandon yourself in the Lord. Verna Gale, would you stand, Verna? And I'm going to ask you to have a word in a minute, but Verna is leading the creative arts. Edith Sanderson, will you stand? Edith is in the back. She's leading the creative writing. Sam, I don't know whether you plan creative music or not, but I don't want to jump the gun on this one. All right. But anyway, we have creative writing and creative arts established. And in these creative periods, under the leadership of the Lord through these wonderful servants, we learn to express and release the hidden streams of life. Verna, say a word about it, will you? Come on up and just share something of what you want this to mean to all of us. They'll hear you from up here.
I was writing down some notes on what Tommy had been saying, so I just started saying, dreams are, and then I tried to think, what had he said before? So now he's telling you that within you, these things are locked up. And this is a place to release them and express them and share them with others. It's the flow through of the total pattern that's coming through you. We are not just objects. We are places through which God speaks to, from us, through us to others. And so you come in here not knowing what he's going to say, as I'm not knowing what I'm going to say right now. You see, these things are answers to the questions that are being drawn through us. But when you come into this creative class, you don't have to come in thinking you need to know anything about how it is going to be done, because he's doing it through you. And the less you know about techniques, the more open and free you are going to be. So you don't have to think that you have to be finished artists when you come. God is the artist. And just let him come through. And he speaks to you, through your hearts, to others. That is all we need to know now, but it is a complete part of the total program. And without it, you will be have a feeling of being unfinished. And that is why we want you to come, and we'd love to have you come. And we're lonely without you. So do come for these creatives, writing or color or clay, whatever it'll be. You belong there, and we need you. You need us, and we all need him together.
Will you tell us where the creatives will be held?
On a beautiful day like this, we're going to meet down along the lake shore where you find the white benches over there. South, I believe it is, south of us now. And on a rainy day, we'll meet in that upper room back here at the upper tabernacle, but we'll let you know when that happens. Today is lovely, and we'll meet down there by the lake shore and just dream some of these dreams Tommy was talking about and let these dreams come through. Thank you.
Thank you, Verna. Edith, would you have a word? In the lovely chapel where we had the morning meditation. Beautiful. Now, Walt, I don't see Walter. Is there another announcement that should be made? All right, we all have a good understanding of what the Lord has for us in terms of schedule, don't we? So we are all in a family together, and CFO is a total happening in a group experience. All of us joining together, being a part of the total involvement. Let us pray. How thrilled we are to have this privilege to be here. We remember that you said, Lord Jesus, when the Holy Spirit is come, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. We just submit ourselves now to be led of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for letting ideas be quickened. Thank you for letting our affection be fixed on you and our faith released, our wills yielded, and altogether responsive to that which you have planned for all of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only life, life giver, he's the revelation of life in every dimension. He really is the revelation of our understanding of life. He's just said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the nearer you get to the Lord in terms of your own consciousness, the more alive you become. You're talking about come alive. It's not the Pepsi generation. It's the Lord's generation. That's where you really come alive. Everything begins to vibrate with life to the degree of its proximity to the Lord. And not only is he life in terms of vibrations and responses and all the rest, but I'm thrilled at what I'm getting in terms of the meaning of life. He not only said, I've come that you might have life, he tells us what that is. He says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true and living God, and thy Son, whom thou hast sent. Life is relationships. Life is relationship. It is at least a fourfold relationship. It is a relationship with God. It's a relationship with yourself. It's a relationship with other people. It's a relationship with forces, the intangible forces. Life is this relationship whether you believe it or not. Regardless of what you experience, you have to face life in terms of relationship. Now, your relationship with God may not be all that it needs to be, but you have a relationship with God. It may be a broken one. It may be a healthy one. But you sustain a relationship with God right now. You sustain a relationship with yourself. You may be fighting yourself. You may be coddling yourself. You may be doing many different things. But you sustain a relationship with yourself. You're feeling something on the inside of you that you call you. And sometimes you how are you? I'm not worth 2 cents. How are you? Oh, I'm tops. Now, are you tops? Aren't you worth 2 cents? Does the self within you vary in its worthiness? What's your relationship with it? We all go through these various gamuts. You're in relationship with other people. And some of those relationships are just beautiful, have already blossomed. Others haven't even started to bud yet. Others have blossomed and faded. Need to be renewed. All kinds of relationships with other people and all kinds of relationships with the cosmic order or the intangibles. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ lets us know that at center, the basic relationship and the one we have to really let have primary emphasis is our relationship with God. Because out of this relationship, the others actually are sustained. You can't get in right relationship with God without affecting all the others. And you can't get out of all the other relationships without affecting relationship with God. Sometimes we want to substitute one for the other. I do this. You do it. I find some friend that I love a great deal and that means a lot to me. I want to somehow forget other relationships and just be with that friend. It may be just a friend I met through a book. And somehow I did this when I met Paul Tournier, for instance. Nobody else interested me while I was reading Tournier. I just soaked up Paul Tournier. I would neglect all other readings and just sort of gave myself to that kind of commitment. Well, maybe I needed to do that, but I had to somehow forget Paul for a while and go and realize I had other relationships. And you find yourself moving with that kind of variableness as you move in relationships. Sometimes I find a person that I want to shy away from, and I want, instead of running to him, forget that I know him. Any of you that way? You wondered why you have the neighbor you have? Well, if you moved, you'd still have him. You'll always have that kind of neighbor until you learn to get in right relationship with him. Any of you wonder why you have the husband you have? If you got rid of him, you'd get another one just like him. And if you've got another and you've heard him say, "Who do you think I am, your first husband?" You know, well, you act enough like him. We always have these on our hands until we learn to get along with them and live in right relationship with them. Any of you young people have trouble with teachers? You won't get rid of that teacher by getting into another course or getting in another grade. You'll always have that kind of teacher until you learn to get in right relationship with them. And in right relationship, you don't need to get rid of them. Just amazing how life is relationships. I'm very much in sympathy with the person who said, "I love God, it's people I can't stand." I wish sometimes that I could just get in right relationship with God and forget about people. But God won't let us do that. Sometimes I find people saying with me, "Oh, if I could just get myself off my hands. I'm my own worst enemy." Well, let me tell you something. You have yourself on your hands for eternity. That's a pretty long time. You better learn to live with yourself. You are you forever. Isn't that disgusting? No, that's not disgusting. That's wonderful. You're you forever. One of my favorite stories comes out of Dr. Carl Jung. This minister came to him, was in the throes of a nervous breakdown. And Dr. Jung talked with him, and he said to him, "I want you to go home. And every evening after dinner, I want you to get alone, totally alone, for 3 hours each evening. And do this for a week and come back to see me." So at the end of the week, the minister came back to see Dr. Jung. "Look, can I stop here and tell you a story? Remind me where I am. This one just came. I have to tell you this story. You might have heard it, but you've forgotten. There was this old boy that went around saying he was dead. I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead." And they finally got him to go to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist said, "I can prove to you that you aren't dead." He said, "I know that I am dead." "Now," he said, "you can't prove it, but I'm willing for you to try. I'm dead." And the psychiatrist said, "Well, I can prove it if you'll do as I ask you. I'll do as you ask you, as you ask me, but I know I'm dead." "Well, now I want you for a week, instead of saying I'm dead, I want you to go around saying, 'Dead men don't bleed.'" So for a week, this old boy went around saying, "Dead men don't bleed. Dead men don't bleed. Dead men don't bleed." End of the week, came into the doctor's office. "Dead men don't bleed. Dead men don't bleed." So the doctor just knew he had a first-class convert on his head, took him into the back room, took his knife and pricked his finger, and blood just gushed out, you know. The old boy looked at the blood running down his hand and looked at the doctor and said, "Dead men do bleed, don't they?" We have ourselves on our hands forever. You'll always be you. And so as the Lord quickens your own appreciation for yourself, you begin to realize that here within me is tied up the mysteries of life in union with God. And I have to learn to love myself as a child of God, to accept myself and live in that right relationship. So instead of saying, "If I could just get myself off my hands," or "I am my own worst enemy," No, I'm the scene of the action. Where I am is where the action is. Because it's an inside job. See? And you began to realize that life is not out here somewhere. As wonderful as that is. And you don't have to go to Fort Lauderdale to see where they, you know, where the action is. That's just where they lay in the beach at Easter time and guzzle beer. That's not where the action is. The action is on the inside of you. Wherever you are, there's where the action is. And so life begins to break in. Now, there are key words that describe these relationships. There are key words that describe your relationship with yourself. There are key words that describe relationships with other people. But the one I want to get at this morning is the key word that describes a right relationship with the Lord himself. Now, that key word that helps you to know whether or not you are in right relationship with the Lord is a five-letter word. You want to just guess what I'm talking about? A five-letter word. Starts with a T. Say it loud. Trust. The word that really describes you are in right relationship to God to the degree that you are trusting God. To the degree that you are depending on God. For this is the whole basis that he lets us know that he is our life. He is the life in every area of our being. He's your physical life. He's your mental life. He's your spiritual life. He's your social life. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And you are really in right relationship with God to the degree that you are trusting him. You trust him in so many different ways. You trust him as you are aware of his presence. You trust him as you acknowledge his ways. Sometimes in our day, we're a little bit afraid to let people know we're trusting God. You know? Well, somehow we think it's sort of old fogishness to really be a committed person. I find myself at times not wanting to tell people I'm a preacher. You know, because somehow people clam up when they discover you're a preacher. There are three sexes, you know, male, female, and preachers. Quite often when you're moving around, traveling as I do, you run into people and you want to get to know them, you want to share with them, and you say, I'm a preacher, you don't get to know them anymore. And I was riding on the plane one day and I was sitting beside this fellow, charming fellow, and we were just having some casual, chit-chat, sort of breaking the barriers. And I said to him, incidentally, what's your line of work? He said, I'm an interior decorator. Well, I said, that's my field. So he just blossomed until he discovered we went to different schools. And then when I told him I was a preacher, he really had a big time laughing at that one. Well, he said, with that kind of interpretation, I believe I can go along with it. We all find sometimes hang-ups in terms of our witnessing or trusting God. But I found in Jesus someone who's not just a religious figure. I found in Jesus one who's really life, and life on the level of your needs that you can level with, that understands how you feel. To put this scripturally, it says, we have a great high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. If just now you are aware of some areas of fear in your life, Jesus knows how you feel. You needn't be afraid to let him know that you have some fear. If right now you have some clouds of doubt hanging over your life, you're at a crossroads, and some of you may be right now, you don't really know which way to turn, and yet you're a little bit hesitant to let anyone know that you're at a crossroads. Jesus knows how you feel. Some of you, right here, I don't think we as adults, I think we've forgotten how seriously young people take their life's calling. And many of you right now are wondering what your life is going to be, what it's all about, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it. You're finding these questions haunting you. A lot of things you're doing are meaningless in your consciousness just now. And you feel so mixed up at times. And old folks are so caught up with their problems, they don't have time for you. Isn't there anybody that cares about me? Yes, Jesus cares. And he knows how you feel. And he's saying to each one of you, you can trust me. I know what's on the inside of you. I know what lies ahead of you. You can trust me. Well, how do you go about trusting God? That's a good question. And you begin to really trust God by opening the door of your need. Whatever your conscious need is. It may be, you may be conscious of a broken relationship. You may be conscious of a fear. You may be conscious of an opportunity to serve. You may be conscious of many different areas of need. But here is the door at which Jesus stands. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And here is a lesson. Now you can mark this one down. This is a thread running right through what I'm saying this morning. The awareness of a need is never an occasion for indictment. It's always an opportunity for growth. The awareness of a need is never an occasion for indictment. It's always an opportunity for growth. In your life, in the life of other people. The longer we live, the more people we have. Incidentally, I read these statistics the other day. There are more people living on this planet right now, today, than have ever lived in every other generation put together. The generation put together would not make up for the number that are living on this planet right now. And we're saying that the world population will double in our lifetime. Boy, you're talking about people. This is amazing. This is wonderful. This is glorious if you know how to get along. But if you don't, isn't it going to be something? So here in these needs around us, as we get close together, our needs come out. Our needs come out at camp. You may be wondering why in the world you're having to sleep beside the one you slept beside last night. You may have, I don't know, I haven't asked Ruth or Lee. I might have awakened them snoring. Somebody might have awakened you snoring last night. Why in the world do I'm going and ask the secretary if I can't change. You better not. You check with the Lord. You see, here are some needs that are breaking out in other people. And our first temptation is, they aren't supposed to have that need, and I don't have to tolerate that need.